This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone, is Pastor Henry Wright. I'm speaking to him from his office in Thomaston, Georgia, where he's pastor of Pleasant Valley Church. And Henry, we have been talking about a subject that is foundational for your teaching. For those that aren't aware of his teaching, he has been able to identify the door, if you will, the specific door for hundreds of specific diseases. And once you can close that door, and the door, by the way, that's a polite name, but the real biblical name is sin. And it's so fascinating to me, Henry, that there are specific sins that open doors for specific diseases. And when you get rid of the specific sin, then what the Bible talks about, the healing is manifest in the body. Now, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about where it all began with someone that Luke calls the Son of God, and his name is Adam. Why don't we start right there today?
Well, let's begin again. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there were just two humans. There were none others. In the garden, invisible, in what we call the second heavens, was an entire kingdom found in Ephesians chapter 6, and Satan with them, that had been cast out of creation, had been judged, and were disembodied. They were looking for a way back in because they were in what's called the dry place, the second heavens, having every urge of their particular fallen natures and no way to manifest it or be fulfilled in it. And here's this protected couple down there, and all they have is this one scripture. And that scripture was a statement by Elohim to Adam, and that was, you cannot eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Interestingly enough, over in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 today, a sign of maturity, those who are able to handle strong meat are those who, by reason of exercise of their senses now, are able to discern both good and evil. And so part of maturity is being able to know what is good and what is evil. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible and the teachings of Christ, that he came and not only showed us that kingdom, but he also showed us that we had power over it. But that kingdom was there, wanting to get in. And as you know, in the first case of channeling, an invisible being accessed the serpent, which was a created animal, and using its vocal cords began to speak to Eve and tempt her. And so in that, she partook. And when she partook, she saw that it was good to eat. She took it to Adam, and he partook of it also. And in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, and the eyes of them both were opened. That has to be spiritual eyes because they couldn't take care of the garden and all the animals there. They were blind physically. So these are spiritual eyes of them that were opened. What were their eyes open to? What evil was? And they knew that they were naked. And I like to help people understand this because in verse 8 they say they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See, it was what came into Adam and Eve when they participated with sin is their eyes were open to what sin was by its fallen nature. Instantly they were afraid of Elohim. They were afraid of God. Well, why would they be afraid of God? He would walk with them in the cool of the evening, as was his custom. Who'd be afraid of somebody that was your buddy? They not only had fear of God, they were ashamed of their nakedness. They had shame, they had guilt, they had fear, and they knew it was time for God's presence to come, as it says here, and walk with them and have fellowship, and they went and hid. So I like to help people have a little fun like this, and I'm just going to do a little skit here, and I'm going to act like I'm God. Okay, here I go. Adam, where are you? Silence. Anybody seen Adam? Adam. After some of that, this voice comes out of the bushes. Here we are, Lord. Where are you at, Adam? Hiding in the bushes, Lord. Are you hiding in the bushes, Adam? Because we're naked, Lord. Listen to the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. And he, the Lord God, said, who told you that you were naked? Wait a minute. There was nobody there in the physical dimension. They had thoughts that formed on the inside of them as if it were their own psychology. And they had fear, they had shame, they had guilt. They became one with it in spirit, they became one with it in soul. Instantly they followed the thoughts and they became separated from God. But the key to understanding separation is that something accessed them invisibly at the spirit level. That's why the Word of God is able to separate the soul from the spirit and give us understanding and show us that our battle is not with flesh and blood. See, Adam and Eve didn't understand this. Their battle was not with fear of God. Their battle was not with themselves. It was with the fear of God. It was with guilt. It was with shame. And they didn't understand it. And mankind from that day has listened to the voices of this kingdom and followed it as if it were them. And 80% of all incurable disease is from participation with sin. Let me say this bluntly, if I may, that I consider sin to be a being, not just an esoteric existence. And let me just challenge the audience here listening at your program, Sid, is that since sin manifests as temptation, and it manifests to humans in the form of thought, feelings, and impressions, then I want to say this clearly, that thought cannot exist and does not exist on the ethereal plane. You cannot have thought unless there is a visible or invisible being that has intellect, that is rational, that thinks. And what Christianity has done, they've made what's called the flesh, the old man, the carnal nature, the Adamic nature, they've made it esoteric as if it were not a literal, invisible, disembodied kingdom. And that is the absolute deception of Satan, to bind us while we think we don't have a problem.
But many would say Adam fell in the garden. He has a fallen nature. We have a fallen nature. It's not an invisible being called a demon. It's the flesh.
Well, let me ask you, let's just go here in this conversation. Is when Adam and Eve, when that kingdom accessed them by its fallen nature, how did it transfer into Adam's sons? How does it access into our
Learned behavior.
No, a child is, rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child. He's not learned it. Let's just go back and talk about something. Let's talk about what's called the original sin. There is no such thing as an original sin. See, sin did not begin with Adam. And the Christian church has made what's called the original sin the Adamic nature. When you say that that's just my Adamic nature, then what you're saying is that God created Adam evil. No, the Adamic nature is something that joined itself to Adam that made him do evil things. Romans 5:12 really says it clearly. By one man, sin entered into the world. The word world is the Greek word cosmos, meaning mankind. By one man, Adam, sin entered into mankind. Well, then sin must have existed outside of Adam and Eve in a different dimension as a thinking, rational kingdom of disembodied beings. It existed outside man, through disobedience, opened up the spiritual realm for that kingdom to join man's spirituality, man become one with it in his soul or his intellect, and the body, of course, is just the vehicle that lines up with how we think spiritually and psychologically. In fact, here's where I'm at with this. By years of ministry and dealing with people in the Word of God, is that I consider sin to be a being by its fallen nature. It existed outside the garden as a rational, thinking, invisible kingdom. Paul identifies that in Ephesians chapter 6 very clearly. Now, that when I participate or I serve sin, which but we can get into that tomorrow out of Romans 7, Romans 6, but when I begin to serve sin, and I begin to follow those feelings and the thoughts and emotions, then I become a sinful being myself, and I have established it on the planet, and that is my sin, and I need to repent. Now, so you have sin and sin and sins, then you have iniquities. Iniquities is a transference of that kingdom. That would be called the flesh, the Adamic nature, the old man, the carnal nature is actually the transference of the kingdom of principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and follows family trees. That's why God said the iniquities of the fathers shall be passed on to the third and fourth generation.
You know, it's amazing, Henry, the number of people that end up in prison that had a father or a mother that were in prison, and this goes on not just one generation. Sometimes you can trace this back 2, 3, or even 4.
We know that certain types of iniquities follow specific family trees. Criminologists know that there are crime families. There are molesters that are already in the family tree. I mean, a couple years ago, that guy up there that killed those two girls and buried one in concrete under his back slab, the Atlanta newspaper said that his father did the very same thing to a woman and buried her in concrete under his backyard 20 years before. In fact, the Atlanta paper said he committed the sins of his father. Hmm. Now, that shows you what's transferring in the iniquity of the generations. So the word iniquity indicates the transference of thought. But how can thought transfer? Thought doesn't transfer esoterically. Thought transfers because of a kingdom that's running and is accessing mankind by its fallen nature. And no one is immune to that kingdom accessing it. That's why we're to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. That's why we are to gird ourselves up. That's why we're to...
Henry, you are just bringing too many concepts too fast. Mishpucha, you need his 2 audio cassettes. His teaching on his foundational teaching, its separation. What an eye-opener. You'll be able to deal with things for the first time in your life. We're making both cassettes available for a donation of $15 or more. Call or write today for the 2 audio cassettes called Separation. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.